Just a personal reflection. Not even a reflection. We've all heard the famous words, the famous three words, the famous saying, if you will, the chesed starts at home, and Rabbi Ephraim's words gave me the chizuk to say this. I am approached at various times, and I can share these personal feelings, from people who are here tonight, from family members of mine, and from others. You deal with the job, if you will, that sometimes can be difficult. It can be never-ending, and it's always something. Do you make sure that you are there for your family? Do you make sure that your children, your wife, and your family, and your siblings, and your parents always feel that they come first? How is it possible if you aren't physically able? And what I consistently, and time again, repeat to each and every single one of them, is that I have and continue to have and should have for many, many more years, the greatest example of that we can possibly have in my father's shlita. Almost done. When I was 14 years old, my grandmother, Ibsen Bender, was nifter. But the memories I have and that continue to stick with me until today was that my father then was somebody who was living for the klal and never had a moment to breathe. But when his mother called, and when his mother needed something, the world could have been standing. And I know that my grandmother felt that nobody else existed. And the same way now, the next generation, we, my siblings, eight of us, and all of our children, and my father's grandchildren, we know that yes, the Rosh Yeshiva is the busiest. That's not Baruch Ber. It's Rabbi Bender who's busiest, and the world is after him. But nothing ever came before his parents. And currently, B'zman HaZeh, nothing ever comes before his children and his family. And with that, I'd like to introduce my father, Rabbi Bender Shlita.
Thank you, Rabbi Baruch Ber. Tough act to follow, Rabbi Ray. Impossible. I'm put a tough spot over here. I'm going to try. The truth is, I wanted to focus a little bit on my family again. Family, it's not a Bender show tonight, but I want to give you an idea of what I saw as a child and what we have to try to give over, and I try to do this in yeshiva with the children all the time. First, I'm proud of Achiyazu, what can I tell you? It's very, very chashev. I go on the street now, people ask, Rabbi Bender is no longer me, it's him. So, it's really a good feeling. I feel very good about it. There's a Gemara Kiddushin of Lamed Aleph. The headquarters of Kibud Av Va'Eim really is Kiddushin, what the Gemara speaks about, Mitzvah Ben Ala'ab, Mitzvah Ala'ben, etc., etc. The Gemara speaks about the fact how far one must go from kind of the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Eim. How far, what are the limits? And the Gemara uses an example, a story with a Gentile. The fellow's name was Dama Ben Asina. Dama Ben Asina was a Gentile, and the Chachamim in the Beis HaMikdash one day needed to have one of the precious stones for the clothing that the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, wore in the Beis HaMikdash. They needed to have one of these precious stones, and he had it, but they see whatever the murders explained why, it was a timely question, they needed it right away. They had to have it right away. And they heard that Dama Medicina had it, so they went to Dama Medicina's house, they knocked on the door, and they said, Dama Medicina, we heard you have for us a precious stone. We'll need to pay you a certain amount of money. And they went up in price. He said, no, I can't give it to you right now because the key to the chest where this precious stone is lying, Machlek is Rashi and Taisus, is lying under my father's pillow or his feet. And I will, if I go get the key for that chest, I'll wake up my father and I can't do it. They said, we'll give you more money, more money, more money. I can't do it. My father is sleeping now. I can't give you the key. The Gemara tells us a story further. The Gemara tells us what happened was that a year later, he had a Parah Aduma, which is even more expensive, was born to him. And the Gemara explains that he got a reward, that he didn't want to take more than the money that he... I'm sorry. Low. I can hold my hand. So the Gemara explains that he could have... He only accepted the reward that he could have made the money before, but there's a very, very simple kash over here. Dama, the son of the Sina. Let's picture what happened over here. I can't give you this precious stone because I'll wake up my father. Let's picture what happens when the Sina wakes up. The Sina wakes up, and Dama comes over to him and says, Papa, guess what? Knew what happened. You were sleeping. Okay, what happened? The rabbis from the temple, they came. They were paying, they offered me $6 million to give, I give them, if I sell them the precious stone. I said, no, Papa's sleeping. So they said, we'll give you $7 million. Sorry, Papa's sleeping. We'll give you $10 million, $12 million. And the seed is incredulous. He says, you didn't wake me up. You're sugar. I could have retired to Florida for the next 25 years. What's wrong with you? What happened to Leah? Ramesha Feinstein, Zichron Tzadik Livracha, he asked this kasha in the Sefer Dibros Mashiach Kedushin on the back. There's little pieces over there. And he says a very interesting terrorist. He says, the Gemara later says that Dama's mother was not a well woman. That one time he was sitting in a meeting, he was a chashva, obviously chashva Gentile, he was sitting in a meeting in Rome. She came by, she hit him on the head, and her tichel fell off. He picked it up, he was very nice to her, etc. Whatever the Gemara explains over there. So if she wasn't well, probably his father wasn't well. So if he wasn't well, he didn't appreciate the value of money anyways. So not waking him up was the best type of mitzvah you can give. I thought maybe you could say a little bit different. It is, I think, not benimtza throughout Shas. But the Gemara speaks about a Gentile. The Gemara says, Ahu Akum, Ahu Kusi. The Gemara does not say the name. The name is there a few times, but there's nowhere that doesn't say the name and his father's name. The Gemara here says, Dama ben Nesina. There's a story that happened with someone called Dama ben Nesina. What do we have to know who Nesina was? The Gemara is telling us that the hero here was not Dama. The hero was Nesina. Dama knew that when my father, my papa, Nesina wakes up, and I'm going to tell him that all the lessons you gave us in Kibbutz Av Ha'Em, I followed your example to the T. I could have made a fortune of money. I rejected that money because I knew you'd be happier if I could show you I didn't wake you even to the greatest prophet in the world. What the Gemara says, what the Gemara tells us, the Gemara tells us now, you wonder how far you got to go? Like Dama, son of Nesina. Because Dama knew exactly how Nesina is going to react. Wow, I'm proud of you, Dama. This is what you did for me. Money means nothing. You didn't want to awaken me. But we have to understand, and I want to focus on what Rabbi Shapiro just spoke about the idea of the family, of leaving examples of the family. My father passed away 49 years ago. I was a young boy, 49 years ago. And in my head, I remember very little about what happened when my father really did. I don't remember too much. The one thing that I'll always remember is his Kibbutz Av. His Kibbutz Av was absolutely incredible. And what's amazing here is that he lived in America. We lived with us. My grandfather lived in Israel. My grandfather moved there to Israel in 1948. His wife had passed away in 1945, our grandmother. He remarried in 1948. They moved to Israel as soon as the state was founded. I saw my grandfather in 1956. I was almost a baby in 1956. And again in 1961, when he came for my sister Allah Shalom's wedding. That's when I saw him. Yet, in my head, in my memory, what I remember most is Kibbutz Av. How is that possible? He lived in Eretz Yisrael, he lived there. I have a lot of examples to give you, but I want to focus just on a few of them. And if you do that in your home, you could set example. I'm here from a chinuch standpoint, which Rabbi Freiberg spoke about. You could set examples in your home for your children. Do you know that kids today don't call their grandparents to say hello to them? Maybe if you're lucky, one Erev Shabbos, maybe an Erev Shabbos, if you get your kids to call. My me wasn't shaykh. Wasn't shaykh because I watched my father. What does that mean? We had to write, we children, we were six children. My father wrote four letters a week to Eretz Yisrael, to his father. That means every other day he wrote, Dafka had to be written four letters a week. The four letters were blue email letters. Remember those letters? Today's an email. Who remembers who writes letters today? Because the blue email, and there were two flaps. He wrote a full letter to him, and on both flaps also, no one called Eretz Yisrael. It was, if I recall correctly, in the 1950s, late 50s, early 60s, it was $20 for 3 minutes to make a phone call. Hard to believe that, but it was. So who could afford that? If you made $20 a week, you were happy. So you couldn't call Eretz Yisrael. So you wrote letters. We children, us poor kids, Nebuch, had to write a full blue AMA letter every single week. That, we used to speak Yiddish. Daddy, was soll ich schreiben? What should I write? Everything you did today, you should write. And I want to stop for a second to explain what I mean by that. I want to go off to somebody else, we're not going to make my father. I had a rabbi in Tarvidas. His name was Ramesha Lieberman. Rabbi Moshe Lieberman was nifter at the age of 41 of a heart attack. My 8th grade Rebbe, I was in 10th grade when he passed away. He was nifter 2 years before my father. Rabbi Moshe Lieberman was nifter at his shleishim. His father, who was living then, was the manal of the tzelim yeshiva. I made a bracha before. She's made a bracha before. So his father put out a pamphlet, which I have at home, and I treasure it, called Moshe Mibachurov. Moshe amongst his friends, his special friends. And in there was a collection of letters that Rabbi Moshe Lieberman wrote to his father and mother from Camp Masifta in Swan Lake, New York. He went to camp. Camp Masifta was a camp of Masifta Tarbadas. And he was there. He was in the camp. The letters are a letter to his father, Kedusha Torah, and a letter to his mother. Kedusha Torah Alif is for Rabbi Shapiro. I want to tell you what he wrote in the Kedusha, and the letters he wrote to his mother. Tyre Rabbana, Nachtnot Geragint. Yesterday it rained. So I wore a raincoat, and I put on my boots, etc., etc. It's about to rain. The next day, Heint is given kalt. Chagetragen mein sweater. I wore my sweater. Next day, he writes everything. I can't come out with a letter every single day. My mother, Shmuel Kamenetsky, by the way, tells the Talmidim that he sent a letter from Neri Yisrael in Baltimore to his parents in Toronto every single day. I don't know if he says it today anymore, every single day. Bekitza, next letter. Today I went to the laundry. I washed out 6 pairs of shorts. These are letters published. I was a little boy. And somebody walks up to Rabbi Lieberman, says to him, I went through the sefer. This is what you give out a letter. This is the letter you give out. This is the book you give out. Rabbi Moshe Lieberman is a gadol b'Torah. Tamachach muflag. We have to know that he, what, you remember handkerchiefs? People, you had handkerchiefs? One of the letters, Echabayski Vashin Fear Noz Tishlach. I washed out four handkerchiefs. This is what you write in a letter? This is what you publish? In a sefer of Rabbi Moshe Lieberman? I was a little boy. But, you know, I grew up watching my father. So I went over to him and I said, I think what he's trying, can I say hello? I said to the servant, I said, very nice, Steve, there are Heretz. I said to him, I think he wrote his father, Chedusha Torah. He knew his father would appreciate Chedusha Torah. What does the mother want to know? What does the mother want to know? That you wash your laundry, that you wear boots, wear rubbers, you wear a raincoat, you're wearing a sweater if it's cold. That's what a mother wants to know. That you use your toothpaste. In camp, they always told me we were kids in camp, always told us, squeeze it out, visiting day, to make sure, so I think so. What does a mother want to know? What's the mama listen? This is the greatest sefer in the world, I told them. Besides the Kedusha Torah, this is the greatest sefer. Rabbi Moshe Lieberman as a young bacher in Camp Masifta understood. What's the mama? That's what our job is when it comes to our elders. That's what our job is to with our parents. What does the mother want? So our father made us write. He said, write what you ate for breakfast. Maybe it was a lot. Write what you ate for lunch, what you ate for supper. You know, we didn't own a camera. We didn't own a camera. What do? Every 4 or 5 or 6 weeks, a fellow would come to the house. I can't describe it. Most of you wouldn't even know what I'm talking about. A tripod with a box. The guy stuck it, the photographer put his head in the box. He had a long wire with a bulb at the end. He squeezed it. And 6 weeks later, he finally got the photos. We never saw them. We never saw them. You know why we never saw them? Because the letter, immediately, the photo went there. It's Israel. When my father was nifter, and my grandfather came to live with us for 8 years after he moved back to America, so he could help my mother raise us children, he brought a box of photos with us the first time. Couldn't make copies of photos in those days. Report cards. You had to return that report card to school the next morning. Today, Baruch Hashem, we send them in the mail. But used to be, he handed it out to the child. Parents signed it, you wrote it the next morning. If we ever got a good report card, that's my siblings, by me it wasn't again. If you ever got a good report card, the report card went, no photocopy machines, it went to Eretz Yisrael. I had no problem because my father was in the Nile, they gave me a new one the next time, no problem. I had to return it. It was 4 semesters, fine, whatever it was. Everything was the tata, the tata. My grandmother was deaf already. The papa, you call him papa. The papa, the papa, the papa, the papa, the papa, the papa. We lived it, we breathed it. So the fact that my father lived in America, my grandfather lived in Israel, meant nothing. It meant nothing. Because the whole life was what was Vil the Zayda. What does the Zayda want? So now my oldest son, David, was born. And today they don't do it anymore. The photographer came to my house to take photos when he was 6 weeks old. They called you from six different places to come take photos. And I got the pictures back. The first thing I did automatically was I sent the picture to my Zayda, who had gone back there to Israel to live. And my Zayda wrote me back a letter, a pasuk in Mishlei, Chachmas Adam Torah Panav. I sent the photo of my son, David, who's now behind her, 40 years old. I sent the photo of him as a baby to my grandfather. He sent me a picture. And a week later, my grandfather was Nifta. But I have that letter where he wrote to me, Chachmas Adam Torah Panav, because I learned from my father that when you get a nice photo of your kids holding it for yourself, to the Zayda right away, to the Papa right away. He lived it and breathed it. And that's what I think we have to do in our homes. It's hard sometimes, it can be very, very difficult, and I know I want to say one thing clearly. Every case is different. There are all kinds of situations. There are fathers sometimes that Rabbi Shapiro alluded to it. Yes, keeping them at home, not keeping at home. There are times when you cannot keep a parent at home. There are times when you... I can't go into that. It's not in the realm of what I'm doing here tonight. There are all kinds of situations, and it's understood. Sometimes it's just very... I can't go into tonight. And that's why there were many booths tonight to discuss different ideas and options and possibilities for a parent. But children have to hear that you're living and breathing them. You mentioned before, Ephraim, you mentioned before about Shalom. I want to go back to my father in a minute, but you mentioned before about Shalom. The last words my mother said, I don't remember my siblings, myself. I don't know, having fights. I don't remember, Baruch Hashem, we didn't have that much like this. When she went into a coma, before she was left, about 2.5 months before she was left, she was in a comatose state for about 2.5 months. She blurted out to my sister, Allah Shalom, she blurted out to her, she said, Ein zach, mach zicha, make sure that the children don't fight. I thought to myself, my sister started crying, of course, she's, like a last will. My mother, she started crying, and she fell asleep, and then it was, from then on, I don't think she woke up again. Bekitza, so, you just, the Shalom in a family is critical. It's the most critical thing for parents. It's nothing more a parent wants. What does a parent want? Shalom. And in situations with an old father, an old mother, old parents, there's ribbing and there's little things that go on between children. Like as Rabbi Shapiro clearly spoke about, who should have the parent in their home, who's doing more, who's doing less. You have to avoid enough like this. It's critical. It gets back to what I was telling you about my father. I want to tell you a story. So my grandfather came to America in 1961. In 1961 he came. By the way, Agav, this is interesting. One day my father comes home with a big box. He puts it on the dining room table. Dining room table, that's the only table we really had. Puts it on the dining room table, and he takes out a bunch of bags. And in the bags says, forgive me please, rolls of toilet paper. There must have been about 24 rolls of toilet paper. And he takes each one and puts them in a box. We're all gathered around him. He said, Daddy, what are you doing? If it bottles in, you'll soon see. I think he wanted us to see. And he packs up each roll of toilet paper in the box. Says, you know, the toilet paper in Israel is very rough. And for the Zayda, it'll be better to use the American paper. Today, it's better ready in Israel. I think my father was teaching us a lesson. Even with toilet paper, you could teach your children kibbutz. You know, the proof is, it's 55 years later, I remember it. I remember my father packing the toilet paper for my grandfather because it could be a little bit better for my grandfather that he has toilet paper here. We have to do that now. No matter what you saw today, with all the booths and all the vendors, whatever you saw today, the children in the home must, as Rachel Shapiro said before again, must see, hear, and feel every single time what it means a father and a mother. Yeah, the Veltz is a famous story. If it's true or not, I don't know. It could be a made-up story with a father and a child. There was an old mother, an old grandmother in the house, and she was not anymore. She was not well, and the child couldn't put the mother in a home. But the father says to the young little girl, 8-year-old girl, "Come, we're going to take mommy. I'm going to take grandma. I'm going to put her into a box, and we're going to drop her off a bridge because." She doesn't understand anything. The strain on us is too much. She doesn't understand anything. And he packs her up into a box. And they go, she's breathing slow, of course, obviously. She's not well. She's not a well woman. and they're going up to this bridge, and he's ready to take her. I'm sorry for going into the story. The end of the story is most important. We're going to drop her off the bridge because it's better for her. She's suffering so much. She's in pain. She can't take care of herself. She's not clean. And I explained to the 8-year-old girl why we have to do this. We have to. It's better for everybody involved. And we get to the bridge. The child says to the father, do me one favor. Pop, do me one more favor. Just one thing. You want to do it? Gesundheit if you want to do it. But give me the box, please. Give me the box. Drop her out. She doesn't know what's going on anyways. So what do you need it for? You drop her off the bridge without the box. Give me the box. He says, fine, but why do you want the box? He says, because one day, I'll need it for you, if you don't mind. I'd like to hold the box for you. What we do with our parents, Rosh Shapiro spoke about it, is what they're going to do with us. It's the chinuch in the home. The chinuch in the home. That's what it's going to be. So in 1961, the great day arrived. My grandfather's coming from Eretz Yisrael. He's coming from Eretz Yisrael because my sister was getting married. And for at least, she got married after Shavuos. From Pesach and on, everybody was yomtiv in the house. My father was dancing, Papa's coming. My father then was 48 years old. He wasn't a child, but Papa's coming. And he was shining the furniture. We call it furniture we had in the house. It wasn't even furniture. He's shining the furniture. And he's the Zayda. I have to buy this for the Zayda, buy that for the Zayda. And he's getting ready for the big day. For us, this was very special. None of us really remember the 1956 visit. Now we have a 1961 visit. Zayda's coming. This is the way we rolled the letters to. I mean, the letters were letters that we had to write. You know, the interesting story, my mother went there to Israel. My father passed away in 1965. My mother went right after the Six-Day War. We felt my mother was on a downer. She never really got over the sudden loss of my father. So when my mother went to Israel, so we decided we were going to chip in. We had the money. We put together money wherever we could. We sent my mother and my sister to Israel. So I felt the one thing that I can do is, you couldn't call them Israel, that was also very expensive. I wrote my mother a letter every single day in Israel. She didn't want to leave us, the children alone. How can I leave you all? So I wrote her a letter every single day. And where did I learn that from? My father. Because he wrote letters all the time. He wrote letters, I wrote a letter. We came up right to Israel, my mother bought each child a little bit of matana. You know what she gave me for a present? She handed me a rubber band with all 35 letters that I wrote. She knew that I'd appreciate that the most. Because that's, again, the chinuch, it goes around and around. Next generation, next generation, next generation. So the great day arrives, my grandfather's arriving that day from Eretz Yisrael. And my father picked us up from Yeshiva, all of us, he was a Manalei, they picked us up at 12 o'clock for a 4:30 arrival of a flight. It wasn't like today with the computer boards that you have today in the airport. He didn't know. He said, Daddy, 12 o'clock, we didn't mind getting out of school at 12 o'clock. Why are we going to the airport at 12 o'clock for a 4:30 flight? Why did the plane arrive early? You know a plane that ever arrives early? Okay, why did the plane arrive early? He was acting like a child, like a 4-year-old child. I'm visiting today if his parents coming. I mean, the simcha was so incredible. The excitement. We come to the airport, in those days there was what's called an observation deck. No one knows what that is. You basically came to the airport, Idlewild Airport, now called Kennedy Airport. You went up a flight of stairs, you put in a dime into the turnstile, and you went up to the top, and you could see the plane. People disembarking. You didn't have those tunnels that go to the plane. You had it. They brought like a stroller. They brought a staircase out to the plane. And the kids were all up there. And it's 3 o'clock. And we're all up to 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock went up there. Every plane is flying. Like Air France is arriving. An Air France flight to KLM. I think those days LL wasn't even around yet. It's either KLM or Air France. And the flight's coming. Every plane. Oh, there's the plane. We were like giving him a little bit of embarrassment, this man. Like, who's this man? He's like, grayish black beard, and he's busy, 4:30, the great moment arrives. 4:30, the plane, the KLM plane is pulling in, and very noisy planes, propeller jets, very, very noisy. And we're there, 6 children, my mother, my father, and the excitement is, I can't tell you. And of course, the person you're waiting for is the last person off the plane, right? And the maestro wasn't the last person, it was halfway there. People are all over the place still. And my grandfather comes to the door. And he's standing there with his second wife, with his wife. And my father sees him. He lost all semblance of normalcy. He starts screaming, Papa! He's screaming. And the propellers are turning. Papa! He couldn't hear him. Wasn't shy. Well, the shayach, the noise there was so deafening. We ducked. We don't know this man. We have no idea who he is. We're like laying on the floor over there. We slowly rose. And you know, people were looking. And finally, the Zayda, he heard, Papa. And he looks up. And he smiles. And they smile back to each other. All my kashas were answered at that moment. When I saw that connection, that smile, that waving to each other, my father was an only child, waving to each other, Papa and the child are waving to each other. That's it. And he's waving and waving. And then we went into the building. The way customs were in those days, there was a large glass, enclosed with glass area. You could look down and watch what's going on in customs. My father wasn't finished yet. My grandfather came in, took his keys from the car, clapping on the window. And my grandfather, who's it? He didn't care. He was oblivious. And the next 6 weeks, my grandfather was here, our world stopped. Nothing mattered except the Zayda. That's what the chinuch must be in a home. The children today, I don't know if they see that. Like I said, letter writing. Oh, the interesting thing, some once in a while, I make a campaign in yeshiva, ask the children to write letters to their grandparents. Letters are, like I said, they're not in vogue anymore today, letters. I promise you that many of the grandmothers have told me that they save these letters in their night table. Not one or two, many. How long did it take to write a letter? One kid comes over to me and he says, you want us to write letters? I have so many parents and great-grandparents. Nebuch. We grew up in a generation that there were no grandparents. No grandparents. I always say over in yeshiva all the time that my class in Tavridas, there were 35 boys. Possibility existed for 140 grandparents, right? We had 10, most from a few families. I had one grandfather. No one had grandparents. Today there are many grandparents. So what? The opportunities are there to teach our children kibbutz on a really regular basis. And it's critical. It's critical that we do it. No matter what you've come out today, from the elder care to Achi has a program that you had over here today. No matter what you coming, what you came to look for, what you came to see, it's all fine. Whatever you do, ultimately, you do. And I visited a great aunt, an aunt of mine, I should say, my children's great aunt. My children will tell you, every single Arab Shabbos in a home in Farakwe. We had, and she had to be in a home because her husband was in a home. And we visited her and him in this the senior citizen home in Farakwe every Friday. I tell you that there were people there, the majority of people never had visitors. Never had visitors. Ever. Not much ever. And it's sad to see. This couple, my aunt and uncle, had to be in a home. Nothing to talk about. But we visited them every week. It was Tkiyas HaMeisim. Mamish Tkiyas HaMeisim. And my children, I guarantee, remember it like yesterday. We went in Hanukkah, we sang songs, etc. No matter what you have to do, there are times you can't feel guilt. If your father or mother or grandfather or grandmother have to be placed into a facility, so be it. But as long as your children know that you are doing everything possible to make them comfortable and happy, and make the children be a part of it. Thank you for listening. Shalom, bro.